I forgot to have Barry make this announcement this morning because I was going to make it before the lesson. But please don't forget we have the attendance survey sheets there in the back of the auditorium in the foyer. You still have another week to turn those in, but if you'll have those turned in to either me or one of the men that attends the regular men's business team meetings, we will get those discussed. Our next meeting is the week after that, so we will be discussing that at that time. Also, Margaret has been working on a new directory. It's been a few years since we had a new directory update. She has finished the computer copy. If you will look at that, look at all your information. I guess if everything is fine, put a check mark by it or something like that so that she will know. And then if you see a noticeable inaccuracy, go ahead and correct it also. And very soon she's going to have us some new directories. So we're looking forward tonight. We only have, after tonight, two more lessons in this series. And really it's a coincidence because the third night after that, Linda and I are going to be out of town at a lectureship. So next week we're going to look at the gospel. No, we're not. We're going to look at the gospel tonight. Next week we're going to look at the church, how we need the church, and then our final lesson will be why we need the Lord's Supper. And of all the lessons in this series, that's the one that I'm looking forward to the most. I have put a few thoughts down so far. I'll be getting the rest of those thoughts together, but I am looking forward to that. So far in our series, we've looked at why we need God, why we need the Bible, why we need Jesus, and then we took 2 weeks to look at why we need the Holy Spirit. Tonight, why we need the gospel. Brethren, you might have noticed that in every one of these lessons, I have made an assumption. I want to make another assumption tonight. I assume that everyone here tonight knows how to define the word gospel. The gospel is the good news or the glad tidings. The first time we encounter the word in the New Testament, it's only found in the New Testament. The first time we encounter the word, it's talking about Jesus in Matthew 4, verse 23, how that he went about all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues. Remember, the church had not been established. So he was teaching in the Jewish synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, preaching the good news of the kingdom, or preaching the glad tidings of the kingdom. Now, in my preparation, I found some unusual things that I would like to share with you tonight. As important as the gospel is, even as important as the word gospel is, it came as a great surprise to me. It is used less than 20 times in the entire four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In fact, it's not found in John at all. The gospel of John does not contain the word gospel, at least if you're reading the New King James or the King James. Not found there at all. Less than 20 times that extremely important word is used. In the book of Acts, and what is the book of Acts? It's talking about the early church going everywhere preaching the gospel. It is only found 6 times in the entire book of Acts. I find that very unusual. Now, concerning the gospel, Jesus gave the disciples the commission. He gave them the charge of going to all the world, preaching the gospel to every creature. One charge. But if we really look at the gospel, and that's the way we're going to look at it tonight, you've already seen that on your paper, I think we can divide that one commission into two directions, two reasons why Jesus gave the commission to the gospel. One, we need the gospel in order to be saved. And two, we need the gospel in order to remain saved. All right, the first point in our lesson. We need the gospel because it's God's power to save. Even without looking at the page, I know you would have determined we're going to look at Romans 1, verse 16 at the very first of this point. Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the good news of Christ, for it, the gospel, is God's power unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But let's continue reading there. The next verse says, for in it, that is in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, and incidentally, it's written in Habakkuk 2, verse 4, my favorite word to pronounce in all the Bible, Habakkuk 2, verse 4, it is written there, the just or the righteous shall live by faith. Now, brethren, listen very closely. Understanding the gospel helps us comprehend God's purpose. Understanding the gospel helps us understand or comprehend God's purpose. Let's look at a couple of proof texts. Colossians 1, 5, and 6. Because of the hope which is laid up for us in heaven, we alluded to that even this morning, of which was heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel which has come to us, as it is also to all the world. The gospel at this time, Paul says, was preached to all the world, bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard it and knew or comprehended or understood the grace of God's truth. That's the good news. To comprehend or to know or to understand the grace of God's truth. Peter says it this way, 1 Peter 1:22 and following. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass withers, and the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. That's what brought the good news, the glad tidings to them. So the gospel is God's power to save. Now, what does the gospel include? Brethren, it includes the fact that Jesus died for our sins. But it includes even more than that. It explains God's purpose. It defines God's purpose in the gospel. If you could see my notes, you would see I have a big star written by this next scripture. In this particular point that I want to make, this is the absolute classic verse or verses to use. 1 Corinthians 15:1-3. Moreover, brethren, Paul says, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which you also receive, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved. The gospel is God's power to save. That's what Paul is saying. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. This is the gospel, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. And then verse 4, and that Jesus was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. So the gospel facts are, Jesus died for our sins. He was buried, but he did not stay buried. He rose on the third day. And because of that, and we do not find the word gospel there, but when Peter was preaching in Acts chapter 2, because of that, Peter says Jesus needs to be now exalted as our Lord and Savior. But we can't stop there. He died, he was buried, he rose again. Because of that, he is exalted, but Jesus is coming back to judge the world. He came the first time to offer salvation, and that's what he did. He came the first time to give us that good news, those glad tidings that we don't have to be lost. That's why he came the first time, to show himself as our Savior. He's coming back to be our judge. Brethren, that's what we are here all about. In Acts chapter 17, the Apostle Paul is preaching, beginning with verse 30. Truly, these times of ignorance, God overlooked. I like the King James. It says, God winked at them, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he, that is God, has appointed a day on which he that would be Jesus will judge the world in righteousness. Well, God will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained and has given assurance of this by raising him from the dead. God raised Jesus up so that he could be our judge. So number one, why do we need the gospel? Gospel is God's power to save. Number two, why do we need the gospel? It tells us how to stay saved. Now, brethren, when a gospel preacher says we need the gospel in order to be saved, that should be very obvious. That should be crystal clear. But to those of us who have been saved, we still need the gospel to help us remain saved. You see, the Bible says that we can lose our salvation. Now, there are preachers all over America, literally all over the world, that preach sermons today that said once a Christian is saved, once a person is saved, they cannot lose that salvation. Or as it is said, once we are saved, we are always saved. Nothing as wonderful as that sounds, that's not consistent with the scripture. The Bible says we can lose our salvation. It tells us it is possible to believe in vain, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2. It tells that it is possible to believe for a while and then fall away, Luke 8, verse 13. It tells us it is possible to receive the grace of God in vain. That means it is useless to us, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1. It tells us it is possible for believers to develop an evil heart of unbelief, Hebrews 3, 12 and following. Therefore, we must hold on to our salvation just as much as we must seek our salvation in the very first place. We need the gospel to bring us to Christ. We need the gospel to keep us in Christ. In other words, as Jesus said, and I failed to put this on the sheet and I don't know why, we must believe, we must be faithful in the beginning, and then we must remain faithful for the rest of our lives in order to inherit eternal life. Revelation 2, the latter part of verse 10. Number three, we need the gospel because it reminds us of God's love. Brethren, let's just sit back for a moment and appreciate the beauty of some scripture. 1 John 4, verses 9 and 10. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he first loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, the go-between between us and God. 1 John 3:16. By this we know love, because Jesus laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Paul said in Romans 5, 8 and 9, but God demonstrates, one translation even says proves, God demonstrates or proves his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than having been justified by his blood, even more than that, we shall be saved from the wrath through him or through his sacrifice. Later in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 31 and following, what then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And he's talking about spiritual things. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is it who condemns? It's Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us, who shall separate us from the love of Christ. And then he mentions tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril or sword. And then he says, it is written, For your sake, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that, notice these things, neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Brethren, that is the gospel. And that's why we need the gospel. We need the gospel because it is God's power to save. But we also need the gospel once we have been saved to teach us how to remain saved. And then number three, the gospel reminds us of the tremendous love God has for us. Now, I'm about to say this a little bit of a smirk so you'll know where it's coming from. I don't want to sound horsey, but I would like for us to redefine the word gospel. It is the good news, but it's the best news we will ever hear. The gospel will save our souls. May we never be ashamed of it. Thank you so much for your attention. We did not mention first principles. We will do that in subsequent lessons. But if there is someone tonight who needs to respond, won't you come as we stand together and as we sing?